Major support for Louisiana Eats on WWNO provided by Zatarain's, proud producers of authentic New Orleans-style cuisine. Zatarain's, a New Orleans tradition since 1889.
From WWNO New Orleans, this is Louisiana Eats. I'm Poppy Tooker. Look up in the sky. It's a bird? It's a plane? No, it's an aeroponic rooftop farm. Rouse's chef, Jack Truding, gives us a tour of his secret rooftop garden. And our rambling reporter, Ian McNulty, has the scoop on the best fried chicken, Bayou style. All that and our culinary quiz on this week's Louisiana Eats. The rooftop garden at the downtown New Orleans Rouse's Market has been one of the best kept secrets in town. Even many of the store employees had no idea what was going on. But Rouse's culinary director, Jack Truding, is going to let us in on the secret. Jack, thank you for inviting us to your secret garden up here.
Thanks for sharing in the excitement with me. We think we've got one of the coolest things in the city. We're very proud to have this sort of project with grassroots here in New Orleans.
Well, the view is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, we're here on this beautiful, bright, sunny morning, but the bridge in the background, all the downtown roofs, it's fabulous here. It must be gorgeous at night.
It is. Actually, we're hoping to host some cocktail parties and maybe some movie nights up here. And the pretty thing that some people won't see is the butterflies and the bees that have naturally found their way four stories up to this garden.
Well, I have never seen a growing system like this. Tell me about where it came from and explain to me what's going on here.
This was an idea that we found maybe 6 months ago, so it's a quick project for us. It's a vertical aeroponic system, and what that means is the produce is growing up and there is no soil, and it's using only a tenth of the water that soil plants would use. The plants grow twice as fast, maybe a little bit more than that. But we had an idea that we should have a sustainable program with the local movement and the fact that people want to know where their food's coming from. This was the perfect idea and a perfect spot to launch a rooftop garden or farm even.
Well, I've heard of hydroponics before, but aeroponics is a word that I'm not familiar with. So this is actually combining those two things, right?
It is. You're right. Hydroponics uses water as a medium, and the roots would grow right into water and sit in water. With aeroponics, the roots are actually suspended in air. You'll see that these are actually growing 2 to 3 feet in length. Plants will only use the water that they need. So the beautiful thing about this is that this water is reclaimed in the bottom and then comes right back up and comes right back to the plant. So it's very, very sustainable.
And there's no soil used at all.
No soil.
So where are the plants getting their nutrients from?
We use two large 50-gallon tanks of a couple of different types of nutrients that we funnel together and we monitor on a daily basis to make sure the pH level is good and the nutrients are good. The food will then come from those tanks into these towers, and the aeroponic system is the water and the nutrients and air. There's a disperser in the middle of this tower that actually disperses almost shattered water, and the roots will hold on to the nutrients and let go of the water that they don't need, and then the cycle starts all over again about every 15 minutes.
So is this considered organic?
I'd consider this better than organic, actually. It's as clean as it's going to get. Even organic farmers in the soil need to put additives. We're not using that. We're using an integrated pest management system. And what that means, basically, is we're not putting any residual pesticides. We're putting ladybugs on. We're putting praying mantises on. And if we see a worm or something like that, well, then we just flick it off and let the birds get it.
So what's growing up here?
Well, today we've got Genovese basil. We've got dill, we've got some thyme, we've got sage, parsley, cilantro, and if you look right off into the distance at that big monster tower over there, that's tomatillas.
Tomatillas. Well, what else might you be planning on growing?
We're going to use this to sell retail. So we're going to start with herbs, and we're going to learn the environment. But we're going to switch to lettuces, pickles. We'd like to do a fantastic cucumber farm up here and start pickling our own cucumbers. And you play around with that a little bit. The pretty part about what we're doing up here, anything is possible, and we're writing the rule book. So,
is this going to be a pick-your-own?
No, we're going to harvest it. I think the best thing, you know, funny story, we opened this up to some of the chefs, and they cleared it out in a matter of days. They thought it was their own personal garden. So, no, we're not going to go in that direction. We're going to pick it, and we're going to grow it downstairs, and we're going to educate the customer that you've got traceability, you've got local, and it's right here in New Orleans.
So will New Orleanians, will visitors be able to access this rooftop garden and visit it?
Without a doubt. We want this to be an important part of the community. We want our customers and any visitors to be educated. In fact, we have a partnership with the International High School, and I met with the dean, and we selected a culinary type student, and we're going to train this culinary student for this semester how to grow. And if he wants to take it back to his country, he can do that. If not, next semester we'll grab another individual and educate them too. So this is an education program as well as a retail program.
Well, this is such a fascinating system. Where did these actually come from? Who's the company behind this?
The towers came from and were managed by a company called Amps, and they're a startup company here in New Orleans. We used some local people to help us with this. We did a lot of research, and we found there were some national companies, bigger companies out there, but we wanted this to be grassroots. We wanted this to be a New Orleans project. We wanted to learn the goods, the bads, and the uglies. So Doug Jacobs is the partner that I'm working with on this. He's the guy with the green thumb. He's teaching me, and I'm teaching him the grocery side of it, but together we're putting up something really, really pretty.
What does that stand for? That must be an acronym, AMPS.
Aquaponics Modular Systems.
And I understand that there's a university tie-in?
There is. He was part of the Idea Village, and this is his future. This is where he wants to go. So, yeah, he's a young student at Tulane and a fantastic guy to work with, very receptive to having to teach me the world of aeroponics and me teaching him grocery ponics.
Luckily, during our visit, the founders of AMPS, Doug Jacobs, and his partner, Kevin Morgan Rothschild, were also there overseeing construction.
And so I'm Doug Jacobs. I'm the founder of Aquaponic Modular Production Systems, AMPS. And what we do is we design and build aquaponic and hydroponic farms for community groups, grocery stores, urban farmers. And, well, what we do is we build farms that grow food using less resources, less water, less land, and have a better environmental impact.
So it's a highly sustainable system then?
Yeah. We use one-tenth the water, the land, and we grow food at twice as fast without soil.
That's incredible. And tell me, Kevin, what's your role in this?
Well, I help out with the ongoing farm management. I help him set up the farms. I help help our website and get us future clients. And
what is your website?
Our website is ampsnola.com. That's ampsnola.com.
And how did you come across this idea? How did this get started, really?
This was something I wanted to do for a long time. I wanted to help teach people to grow food locally using sustainable methods. I went to a place in Disney called The Land, and I saw them growing food without soil, using fish waste, growing fish and plants in the same environment, and I was like, wow, this is the future. This is how we're going to grow food for the growing population using our limited resources. And I walked into a social entrepreneurship conference at Tulane. I pitched the idea. I got resources from Tulane's Changemaker Institute. I got into the Idea Village, got resources from the Idea Village, and now we're going to do Social Entrepreneurship New Orleans. They're going to help us refine our business plan and grow this business.
So the greening of urban local spaces across the country is a big happening thing. It's even happening in cold places like Chicago and Detroit. Sometimes the factors are ecological. Sometimes they're trying to revive a vacant neighborhood. What was really the motivation here?
Well, as a chef, I wanted to have the freshest, most local product available. We've got a roof. We're not using it for anything other than parking and This was the perfect spot to put a vertical garden. It doesn't use a lot of space. You don't need an acre. That was really the inspiration, really wanting to put on the plate fresh product that's grown locally. We had the opportunity to have about 15 chefs up here last week. And Poppy, I got to tell you, when they came up to the roof, I wanted to show it off a little bit. So we're tying in the grocery store relationship with the farm-to-table relationship that we've got with our chefs. And we made fresh margarita pizzas with the basil yesterday in 20 steps or less.
Well, do you know of any other downtown businesses that are greening their outdoor spaces or any other grocery stores, any place that are doing anything like this?
I'm only familiar with one other grocer, not in the state, and they're doing a hydroponics method. It's on a much smaller scale, and it's inside their store, but kudos to them for starting it. That's the way to go. And then Johnny over at Ecology Inn has a beautiful place on Carrollton. His is growing in the ground, but you know, he was actually one of the chefs up here and fell in love with it as well. So I'm hoping this encourages everybody to start something.
Yeah, I think you need some chickens and rabbits up here, Jack. That's what I think comes next. You know where your food comes from.
I'm happy to bring the chickens. I'd love to bring the chickens.
Any other plans for any other Rouses to start rooftop gardens?
Well, I'll speculate for you a little bit, but there has been some discussion with the success of this one so far that we would look at aquaponics, and that's the relationship between either fish or softshell crabs that we would use to grow plants and then harvest the fish as well. So we're truly trying to grow into a sustainable program. We've got 5 stores that have about an acre worth of rooftop space, so the sky's the limit for us right now. We really can grow this into something that not only the city can be proud of, but the nation could be proud of as well.
This is just incredibly exciting. So big kudos to you and Rouses for getting this rolling. Thank you so much for giving us the preview.
Thank you. Happy to have you. Please come back and try some of the product.
Culinary Director Jack Truding in a dream of a rooftop garden at the Rouses Market in downtown New Orleans. When the Times-Picayune recently announced their intent to only publish 3 days a week, my first thought was, how will I live without the weekly food section? As a child, my first cooking teacher was Times-Picayune columnist Miriam Guidroz, who taught me the fine points of classical French cooking in her weekly column, Pâte à Feu. When so many generations of treasured recipes were lost in Hurricane Katrina, Times-Picayune food editor Judy Walker set out to rebuild New Orleans one recipe at a time. Researching the paper's archives and with help from readers, Judy rediscovered culinary treasures, giving our battered city solace through these familiar flavors. One such discovery was Corinne Dunbar's oyster and artichoke appetizer. That gracious St. Charles Avenue restaurant closed in the 1980s without ever disclosing their secrets. But devoted Times-Picayune reader Maureen Detweiler had the oyster artichoke recipe. In the 1950s, her mother had sweet-talked it out of longtime Dunbar cook Leonie Victor, who wrote it down for her on a cocktail napkin. Maureen generously shared the recipe with the newspaper, and it appears in the resulting 2008 book, Cooking Up a Storm, compiled by Judy Walker and fellow food columnist Marcel Bienvenu. You'll also find the full recipe on our Louisiana Eats website at wwno.org. Modern culinarians take note. The recipe calls for a 7-ounce can of mushrooms and their juice. Don't follow your inclination to substitute fresh mushrooms if you want the recipe to taste exactly like the original Corinne Dunbar's oyster and artichoke appetizer. I'm Poppy Tooker, and this is Louisiana Eats.
I read the news today, oh boy, about a lucky man. And though the news
Now it's time for our Louisiana Eats Culinary Quiz Question of the Week, brought to you with support from French Market Coffee. The answer to this week's question, what is the name of Corey Brown's online publication, is Zester Daily. Nationally, Zester provides great coverage of the world's culture and politics of food and wine. But you can also visit ZesterDaily.com for a virtual tour of NOMA's Leah Chase exhibit and read my personal plea for saving the Times-Picayune. Now let's see who this week's lucky winner is. Thomas Walsh, our Louisiana Eats producer, is manning the grinder.
Well, each week there's a group of familiar names that pop up in our inbox. Their devotion to the culinary quiz has made them winners in the past, and that diligence is about to pay off yet again for one of our listeners. So congratulations to Judith Brown of Metairie, Louisiana. You're the first contestant to win twice in the culinary contest. So whether you've yet to participate or just can't stop jonesing for our quiz, send in your answer for a chance to win.
Our lucky winner will be receiving 3 full-size bags of French Market coffee, including dark roast with chicory, and French roast. This week's question is, what is the name of the North Louisiana town made famous by its peaches? Send your answers to Louisiana Eats at WWNO.org by midnight Sunday night. All correct answers received will be mixed together in our French Market coffee grinder, and one lucky winner will be chosen at random and announced on next week's show. Again, this week's question is, what is the name of the North Louisiana town made famous by its peaches? Email those answers by midnight Sunday night to LouisianaEats at WWNO.org with culinary quiz in the subject line, and you could be next week's lucky winner. I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats. Public radio contributor and freelance journalist Ian McNulty is the author of Louisiana Rambles, an off-the-beaten-path exploration of our state's heartland. As Louisiana Eats roving reporter, Ian's sharing with us his latest delicious discoveries. So, Ian, tell us, where have you been rambling?
Well, Poppy, lately I've been down around that area just west of Houma, between Houma and Morgan City. There are a lot of little towns in there. Gibson is one of them, Mandalay. These are the launching points for a lot of these swamp tours that we hear about. You know,
oh, yeah.
The boat tours, the airboat tours that go all through the swamps there. Wonderful area. Well, people going down there, you know, you spend all day out and about checking out the scenes. You get a little hungry. There's a great place right on the route called Bayou Delight. Now, Bayou Delight is just west of Houma on Highway 182, what they call Bayou Black Highway out there. That actually used to be the old Highway 90 for people who have old road atlases like me. But Bayou Black Drive runs right parallel to Bayou Black, this really pretty little bayou that winds into the city there. And Bayou Delight is, you know, it's a kind of an old-fashioned-looking Cajun restaurant that really is easy to zoom right past. You might not even notice it. In fact, I was looking for it the first time I went to see it, and it didn't even have a sign up at that point. It had been blown out by some storm. And it was just this low, nondescript building, like I say, but a very reliable indicator that something good is happening here. Cars parked all over the place, and especially trucks at supper time. You know something good is going on in this place.
So what have they shown up there to eat?
Well, probably the number one dish here is their fried chicken. Now, the menu covers a lot of traditional ground for your small-town Cajun restaurant. There's a seafood gumbo, your chicken sausage gumbo, lots of fried seafood, lots of daily specials. And they serve a lot of those on those hard plastic divider plates, you know, from the cafeteria days, to make sure you get your dessert right there with it, too. Some of these specials actually come with the dessert, so it's not a matter of even deciding if you're going to order them or not. But one of the really great specials here, like I mentioned, is the fried chicken. It's really is a masterpiece of a genre that I'm starting to call like bayou fried chicken, you know? And what is this? I mean, it's not too spicy. There's nothing crazy going on in the batter, but it has something to do with the way that people down in the bayou cook with that fryer. And They really do toe the line between, you know, staying really moist but not being soggy. It's just this really distinctive chicken, and I think that skill probably comes only to people who live so intimately with water like the Bayou folks do.
Is it spicy?
No, it's not spicy, like I said, but it really has this great moisture, but still has this crackle to it. It's just delicious, and people, believe me, people around Houma, if you ask anyone where to get great fried chicken, they're going to point you to Bayou Delight.
Well, this just sounds delicious. Exactly what we were looking for on Louisiana Eats. Any other thoughts from that ramble for us?
Well, you do have to keep in mind one thing about Bayou Delight. It's a place to go for your lunch on the way to or from your swamp tour, or if you're just going through Houma. But if you're there on Friday or Saturday evening, Bayou Delight turns into basically a Cajun dinner dance club. Now, it's, people just come on in, they get their table, and the band strikes up in the corner. So some of the tables are pushed to the side, and couples and families and little kids even, they hit that dance floor. And in between having their fried chicken and their gumbo, they dance for a few numbers to traditional country Cajun bands.
That real Louisiana experience. Just what I knew we could count on you for, Ian. Thank you so much for telling us about Bayou Delight.
Absolutely, Poppy. I'll be rambling on.
Louisiana Eats roving reporter, Ian McNulty. Hey, jambalaya, crawfish pie, filet gumbo. For tonight, I'm going to see my machete mio. Well, it's goodbye, Joe. Me got to go, me oh my yo. Me got to go, pull the Piro down the bayou. That's it for this week's edition of Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Next week, just in time for Father's Day, we've got Food Network star Big Daddy in the house.
People want to get in the kitchen, and food is becoming one of those things that people are embracing more and more, but it's sometimes too complicated. And I wanted to let people know, like, get in the kitchen with your kids, get in the kitchen with your friends, have a good time with your brother like I do on the show, and just take good food and keep it simple and simplify, but have it full of flavor.
Subscribe to our podcast, hear today's show, or catch up on previous editions anytime online at wwno.org. Louisiana Eats is made possible with major support from French Market Coffee and Zatarain's. Additional support provided by Dickie Brennan's Steakhouse, Palace Cafe and the Bourbon House, Lights Egan Funeral Homes, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, and our media sponsor, Louisiana Cookin' Magazine. I'm Poppy Tooker. We'll see you next time. Louisiana Eats is a production of WWNO.